Hello and welcome, glory to God, for he is good and his love endureth forever. Glory to God, and he never lets us down. So we're in for a treat today. We get to tap into the word of God and look into this prophet, one of the greatest prophet who ever lived, Elijah. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by saying yes to Jesus forever. So, let me know you're here. Throw that thumbs up, that like, and type Jesus forever. Jesus first forever. Amen. So, we're looking into 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16 to 29. And in this time, Obadiah was a prophet of the Lord, which Elijah told to confront Ahab. And so, we can see God's power and God's plan coming together as he commands, as the Israelites, they were far away from him because of disobedience. But yet God is still pursuing them and giving them another chance so that they may live a righteous and holy life, right? So God is good. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Let us be inspired, let us be growing in you, and let us be impacted by your word, Lord God. Lord, there's no one like you, so we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and we thank you for your guidance. And Lord, may you be glorified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome everyone. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16 to 29. We're going to read through the passage, and then we're going to do some analysis which will greatly help you and build you up. So you don't want to miss this. You want to watch to the very end and allow God to work upon your life. And this daily devotion is a continuous devotion which we do it every day so that we can grow together in a journey closer to God in a relationship with him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get this started. I'm so excited. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16, it says, so Obadiah, he went to meet Ahab, and he told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family, they have, and you have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed after the Baals. Now summoning the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. Now summon them to meet me at Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab, he sent word throughout all of Israel and assembled the false prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah, he went before the people and said, how long will you waver between these two options? If the Lord is your God, then follow him. But if Baal is your God, follow him. But the people said nothing, and they remained silent. Then Elijah, he said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophet left. But Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us and let them choose for one them for themselves and let them cut them into pieces and put on the wood but not set fire. So they're making an altar and they say, don't set it on fire. I will prepare another bull and put it on the wood and not set it to fire. It's like an ultimate sacrifice. Wow. And then you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire. He is God. So, is the God of Baal or the Jehovah Jireh? Who is God? Then all the people say, what you say is good. They agreed, and they're like, okay, let's do this. On Mount Carmel, and Elijah and the prophets of Baal, he said, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. And since there's so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light it on fire. Let your God do it. And so they took the given bull given to them and prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. He said, O Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah began taunting them. He said, ha! Shout louder, guys! He said, surely he is a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought, or deep sleep, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. in verse 28. It says, "So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spear, as was their custom, until their blood flowed, and midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention." Wow, we can see a powerful movement here. The first part of the Mount Carmel, how people, and actually this was a showdown between Jesus, Team God vs. Team Devil. Elijah was on Team God, and all these false prophets, they were on the Team Devil. Which side are you? If you are on Team Jesus, then type Jesus forever. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. Eddie, Levine, Nate, welcome everyone. So what are some reflections here before we go into like a deep analysis of the passage? Some reflections you can get out of this passage is that there's troublemakers. When you stay faithful to the ways of God, you will inevitably be labeled as a troublemaker. Elijah, he was labeled as a troublemaker by King Ahab, and the Israelites, they all knew that Elijah was trouble. Even Obadiah, the prophet, he knew Elijah was trouble, but our Lord, our God, he was considered a troublemaker even by the religious leaders of his day. Jesus, he was like the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders tried to stop Jesus and stone him, tried to kill him, and eventually he was crucified on the cross for our sin. He did it for us because he loves us. And when you confront sin, rather than turning a blind eye or look the other way, you are at risk of being ostracized or condemned by people. But this is the price that you pay when you follow Jesus' example. You go through persecution. You go through difficult times. But by the grace of God, you are set free and you know the truth and you represent the one true God. And that's why we praise the Lord our God. And then Elijah, his faithfulness led him to a confrontation with Baal's prophet on Mount Carmel. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow. And Jesus' faithfulness led him to the cross on Mount Calvary, which it was prophesied that he would live a perfect and sinless life and then die on the cross. Then he raised again in victory, defeating sin and death. He's bigger than it all. So we praise the Lord, for he never lets us down. And he loves us so much that he laid his life down for us. So Jesus, he was divine, became human. He was in heaven when he came to earth, so that we can go from earth to heaven. So that we can have a relationship, intimate relationship with God. Amen? Glory to God. So Elijah's faithfulness led him to confront against the false prophets, the true prophet of the one true God, or the false prophets. Who's gonna win? So Jesus also confronted the Pharisees. Faithfulness, guys, to God, God's way, often does not lead to easy path. But it is a better walk with the Lord on a difficult, it's better to walk with the Lord on a difficult path rather to walk against him on an easy one. So that's why when you walk in the ways of God, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That means you have a chance to redeem yourself, or to allow Christ to redeem you, reconcile you, build you up, and give you a life of meaning and purpose. And that's so what so many people want in their life. Amen? So I am so glad that you come and join and was able to hear the word of God and is able to hear that he is for you and not against you. And if God is for you, then who can ever stand against you? Even when you resist the devil will flee from you. So in Jesus' name, may you continue drawing close to Jesus and he will draw closer to him. Draw closer to Jesus, and he will draw closer to you. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you, in Jesus' name. So, there may be persecution, but you do not have to be afraid of persecution. Jesus is the best relationship that you can ever have. And that's why we constantly say, Jesus forever. We constantly say, you are my Lord, my King, my Savior, and I will not stop praising you all the days of my life. Right? Amen. Glory to God. So, the second thing is that there was a deafening silence in response to Elijah's challenge. Showdown, the prophets of Baal prepared their altar and sacrifice, but the God that they trust for rain, fertility, and provision did not answer. And maybe he falling asleep. And Elijah started mocking. He's like, does he have eyes? Does he have ears? Is he listening? Is he even on vacation or something? And Elijah just mockingly suggests many different things. And he's like, wow, your God is not true. And at this time, the prophets of Baal, they were shouting louder and louder. They were even cutting into themselves so that the blood becomes a part of the sacrificial ritual. But that silence grows louder and louder. So it is with those who place their faith in false gods, in money, in chasing the things of the world, in materialistic things, those things are never going to satisfy you fully. It's only satisfying you only temporarily, maybe a day or two, a week, but only one person can satisfy forever. And that is the Lord our God, who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the one that gives you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness. These are things that people long for in their life. And these are things that God offers you. Hope and salvation. He offers you a way into heaven. He offers you more than enough. Amen. Because our God, He's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. God who provides and God who never lets us down. Amen. So that's why we praise the Lord all the more. And we say, praise God, for you are good, and your love endures forever. And what must we do? We must love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and strength. Jesus, He is Lord, and He's the King of Kings. And that's why I'm so glad, wherever you're coming from, whatever background you're from, whatever ethnicity you're from, welcome. And I'm glad you're hearing the Word of God, because Jesus, He loves you so much and He wants a relationship with you today. Jesus has the power to break you free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the regret and shame and depression and anxiety. He has the power to break you free from the bondage of confusion and give you a straightforward answer and path that He longs to give you. Give you a life of righteousness, give you a life of fulfillment, give you a life of success and prosperity, give you a life that is worth living, not a life of darkness, but He can bring you out of that darkness into light, bring you out of mourning, out of sadness, into joy and peace in your heart. He is the way, the truth, the life, and that's why we continue preaching Him each and every day and sharing the good news. You see, the modern gods of greed and power and all these things promise their worshippers much, but they actually deliver little. In fact, they deliver nothing at all, but instead bleed those who rely on them. And spending oneself on behalf of idol is a tragedy. So, we know, in the end, Jesus is victorious. He is victorious over all. And when you're a Christian, you live from victory to victory, not victory to defeat. The devil, Satan, he lives in defeat. He already lost the battle. But Jesus, He is all powerful. And He's already won the battle. And if you choose Jesus, then during this short time in your life, it's so short. It's only 100 years or less. It's so short. And it determines if you say yes to Jesus, then you will have an eternal relationship with Him. But if you say no to Jesus, then you will have eternal separation from Jesus. And that is why you must turn to Jesus today and say yes to Jesus and follow Him all the days of your life. And so I'm not denouncing you. I'm encouraging you to walk in God's way. He is reaching out to you, and you're here not by accident, but by God's grace and His mercy. And so He wants good gifts for you, and He has good gifts. And that's why He empowers us here today as brothers and sisters to grow in Him. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Type Jesus forever if this is helpful. Welcome, welcome, Cherry. Welcome, Sonic. Welcome, everyone. Glory to God. Amen. So, we're looking into 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 to what? 17 to 29. 17 to 29. So, the Lord God himself, not the false god idol, Baal, vindicates his existence on Mount Carmel. And tomorrow we'll be talking about the victory of Elijah's God, Yahweh. Today we're talking about the false prophets who were on the Mount Carmel. It's a well-known story among Christian circles, and the importance, it cannot be overemphasized. The purpose of this confrontation between God's prophet and the devil's prophet, the false god, is a critical lesson for each and every one of us. Every generation, we must learn to prove that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, is the one and only true living God. Amen. Amen. So, here in Elijah's, here's his confrontation with Ahab, paints a picture of judgment due to sin. And as soon as the two men meet face to face, Ahab angrily and sarcastically charges Elijah with being a troublemaker. Elijah, he's a prophet of God. And this person responsible for the severe drought and famine sweeping over the land. So there was a drought after Elijah prophesied to Ahab because of their false worship to the gods actually is for fertility, for crops, for growth. Because they worship the false idols, they're going to experience, actually, drought, famine, hunger. And so, Elijah prophesied that, and then he left. And then King Ahab was trying to find him, but couldn't find him. And now he's calling him a troublemaker. And by taking initiative, Elijah fired back at Ahab that he was really the troublemaker. Who's the real troublemaker? King Ahab, who led the whole Israelites to worship the false god, to worship Satan. So, who's the true troublemaker? Not Elijah, but Ahab. It was Ahab and his descendants who had sinned, forsaking the commandments of the Lord, and committing idolatry and false worship, following the false god Baal, and they were giving Ahab no time to respond. And then, giving Ahab no time to respond, Elijah challenged the king to summon the people to contest on Mount Carmel, a contest between himself and the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Note that the 450 prophets, they served the false god Baal, and the other 400 prophets served the false god Asherah. That makes 850 false prophets over there. And Ahab, he accepted the challenge, and no doubt thinking that this one would be the one way he gets rid of the troublesome prophet Elijah and eliminate the worship of the Lord once and for all. And completely deceived by his faith in the worship of the false god Baal, Ahab excitedly sent word for the contest throughout the whole northern kingdom, summoning the people to attend. And obviously, they were multiplied, thousands who gathered together to witness the contest. What can you learn from this? You see, the confrontation between Elijah and Ahab is a clear picture of judgment due to sin. Drought, famine had stricken the land because of sin and wickedness both Ahab and the Israelites were committing. And throughout the judgment or discipline, God was seeking to lead the Israelites to repentance, to turn back to him, to arouse them to turn away from lives of wickedness. And he was seeking to turn them from false idols and worship back to him. And he's always seeking to bring you back to the Lord our God, one true God, so that you may walk in his ways, so that you may be built up. Yes, I remember you. I do. Amen. And so, it is with you. When you sin, God, he disciplines you, chastises you, just like a parent does when his or her child misbehaves. And through chastisement, or that discipline that God does lovingly, God hopes to arouse you to turn away from your sin and to turn back to Him. And if you continue to sin, then you will eventually harm yourselves or damage the lives of others around you. Thus, God disciplines you to keep you from destroying yourself or others. And this is an interesting teaching of God's word that is for you. In John chapter 15, verse 12, John chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He will take away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bring forth more fruit." You see, if we are branches, and we're not bearing fruit, then He will take it away. One day, He will see if our branches are bearing fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. And these are things that people long for. And so, God wants to prune you. When you're pruned, He's cutting off the dead part, the distraction. He's deleting it. He's getting rid of the things that are holding you down. He's cutting it down. He's pruning it. And then, not only does pruning help protect your time, your energy, and your relationship with God, but it also allows you to bring forth more fruit. And that fruit actually comes back 2 times, 5 times, 10 times, 100 times fold more when you plant the seeds of the gospel in your life and the lives of people around you. It comes 100-fold, and that's no doubt that God is working. Amen? And that's why we follow Him. We know that He wants us to bear good fruit. Don't you want that in your life? And when you bear fruit, good fruit, people are going to surround you and be like, "Wow, where are you getting this joy from? Where are you getting this peace of heart from? Where are you getting this love from?" And you can say, "Well, I'm getting it from the one true God who loves me, cares for me, and He also loves you too. And His name is Jesus, and He wants a relationship with you." Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about the good news? And then you share about your story about how Jesus transformed your life. And Jesus made a way when there was no way. Amen? So, He prunes you, disciplines you, so that you may, what? Bring forth more fruit. He says to be fruitful and multiply. He wants you to multiply. He wants to bring good things onto your lap. He wants to give you good things. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. "For this reason, among you are weak and sick, and a number of you are sleeping. But if we judged ourselves rightly, then we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined." We are disciplined. We are disciplined type. We are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. You see, God corrects us. God guides us. God gives us discipline. And with that, He gives us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment in order to navigate through the difficulties of this world, in order to grow our strength in Him and our passion, our life upon His firm foundation, so that we would be strengthened and live in His victory, live in His ways, live in righteousness, in good ways, so that we can be the light of the world and shine the light upon the darkness, so that we can be the salt of the earth that preserves the world. If we as Christians, we're not here on earth, then what do you think is going to happen to the earth? The earth would not be preserved because we're the salt of the world. It would actually be even more destruction, even more corruption, even the world would be destroyed without Christians. And one day, every Christian, we will be raptured and we will be going to heaven to be united with our Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what happens after that? Then the non-Christians, non-believers, they are here on earth with a corrupted heart, with no path, with emptiness. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to be walking in the ways of just the pain and sadness. So, God is in control, and God is true, And that's why we continue praising Him all the days of our life. Amen. We worship the one true God. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! God is good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. And it says, And have you forgotten the exhortation, the encouragement, which is addressed to you as sons? My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved of him, by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. If he loves you, he will discipline you. If you're a father or mother and you love your child, then you will discipline them. You'll lead them on the right path. And he scourges everyone whom he receives. Amen. So that's why we walk in his ways. And we build our life upon his firm foundation. Hanan, thank you. Glory to God. Woo, God is good. Is it Hanan or Hannah? It's Hannah. Hannah and Danielle. Glory to God. So, he's going to discipline us. Do you like being told what to do? I know a lot of people say, you're a safe, self-made man. You do what you want to do. YOLO. But, in reality, we should be doing what God wants us to do. We should be living our life according to God's way, God's will. And we should build our life upon God's path, God's way, and God's plan. And then with that, he will show us the way, the truth, the life. He will guide us towards the right place. And he will allow us to, he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be producers, actually. When you're fruitful, you're a producer. You're no longer just a consumer, but you're also a producer, amen? And that's why we praise God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, it says, For whom I love, I reprove, and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, it says, This you know, thus you know, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. That's Deuteronomy. Moses was saying that you shall consider in your heart that a man is disciplined by God, just like a man disciplines his son. Psalm chapter 94, verse 12, it says, Blessed is a man who you discipline, whom you chasten, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Amen. And then, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the chastening, the discipline of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Wow. As soon as all the people and the prophets, they gathered, Elijah, he stood before them and presented them a challenge, explaining the contest. But first, he rebuked the people for wavering between these two options, between the one true God and the false God. No longer can they debate who the one true and living God was. No longer could they claim that all gods were equal and all gods represented the one true and living God. No longer can they serve both God and Baal. It was time to make a decision. Time to make a forceful, conclusive declaration that the Lord Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, was the one and only true living God. All the other so-called gods are false. Just as the creation of man's imagination, and the people could no longer straddle the fence, engaging in the worship of both Jehovah and false gods. They cannot be in between. They must choose. You must choose a path. And no longer living between two options, they must now decide and take stand for the Lord and declare the truth that He and He alone is the one and true living God. Amen. God is our God, and He is the one and true living God. No other God can stand before him. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is Alpha, Omega. He is our God. But note the response of the people. They stood silent. They said nothing, not a single word. And they were completely unwilling to respond to Elijah's challenge. And they were unwilling to make a decision for the Lord. And having presented his call for decision, Elijah then presented the proposal to contest to the people, a contest to prove who the living and one true living God is. And he instructed the people to secure two bulls, two animals, one for him and one for the prophets of Baal. And once secured, he and the prophets of Baal would have a showdown and prepare their bulls for sacrifice and place them upon the altars for their gods, right? And then the Baal prophets, they would call upon their God and he would call upon his Lord, and whoever sends fire down to consume the sacrifice would be the one and true living God. And keep in mind that Baal was thought to be the god of fertility and production, the god who controlled the weather, the god who that included rain, cloud, storms, dew. And of course, if the god of the storm was really the true and living God, then he would call down lightning upon the sacrifice to consume it. So another thing that we can learn is a picture of indecision. A part of people in this point, a lot of people in this world are struggling between indecision, between following the one true God, our God, or following between what the world has to offer them. It's like we have everything we need. Why would we need God? Why do we need him? Well, we know that this life is temporary. Everything you see around you, it's temporary. It's going to one day fade away. This life in 100 years, it's going to fade away. It's going to be gone. Even though they try to extend it, but yet, still, it's going to be gone one day. And so that's why it's so important to recognize that what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. This body will die one day, and then there's going to be a second death. Their soul will also be judged whether it's going to be an eternal presence of God, eternal relationship with God, or eternal separation from God. And you have a choice, guys, to choose Jesus today, to follow after him, to engage in a true worship of our living God, to have a relationship with him, not to follow religion, it's to have a relationship with the Lord our God by reading his word, going into the Bible and reading his word, abiding in him, walking in his ways, and praying to him every day, and building his kingdom, his community, so that where you can gather with people who share your faith and not be shaken and keep you accountable. Amen. So, if we are engaged in false worship and attending church at the same time, worship of like the things of the world, worship of money, worship of just things not God, right? Then that's not honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just almost like this same picture of what's happening here in Elijah against the false prophet. And so it's so important that you make sure that your heart is in the right place, that you're actually letting your actions, your habits, back what you believe. If you truly believe that Jesus is Lord, then praise the Lord that you show up every day. Now you don't have to show up to this live stream every day, but you have to show up to reading the Word of God every day, to consuming what God has to teach you every single day, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be lifted up by God, not by man, not by the world, not by your own self, but let God lift you up, because God will exalt the humble and he will humble the proud. So the call of God for you to make a decision to follow Christ is to study his word, to learn his commandments, to grow into mighty men and women of God, into mature believers. God will not tolerate indecision, not for long. So now is the time to make a decision for the Lord and to become his follower today. God, he warned you about indecision. He says that you are either for me or you're against me. Matthew chapter 12 verse 30 says, he who is not in me or with me is against me. and he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. And he also said that he that is not with me is against me, and that he that gathers not with me scatters. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 23. Then Luke chapter 16, verse 13 said, No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and mammon. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So don't be double-minded. Keep your mind straight and focused upon things above and not on earthly things. Keep your mind focused upon Jesus, upon our Lord, our Savior, and then he will add all things unto you. You seek first the kingdom of God, and he will add all things unto you. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, How long shall we wait between these two opinions? How long shall you halt between these two opinions? If the Lord is your God, then follow him. But if Baal is, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were silent. They were quiet. They were indecisive. So you must be decisive today. Allow God to be your Lord and Savior. You have to say, Lord, I commit my life today to reading your word, to building my life upon you, and to following you every day. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 2 says, And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And then Hosea chapter 10 verse 2. The heart is faithless. Now they must bear the guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy the sacred pillars. So God really warns you about indecision. He wants you to be decisive. He wants you to make a choice. He doesn't want you to waver between your identity, between your God, between what you're following. He wants you to make a firm decision to follow him today and to let him define who you are. A lot of people are struggling today having identity crisis. They're struggling today having relational crisis, having financial crisis, having health crisis. And they turn to and they grow closer to those they actually trust. And if you truly do trust God, then you will grow closer to God. And you will say, Jesus forever is my Lord, my Savior. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my protector. Jesus is my healer. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the one God that I choose to have a relationship with him. No one else but him. And he will add unto you. He will add to your health. He will add to your mind. He will add to your heart. And he will add to your relationship. So, this is our God. You say, God forever? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And then, another thing is, a decision must be made for the Lord. Now is the time to step forward, professing the Lord and taking stand for him. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Looking at him, Jesus felt love for him and said to him, One thing you lack, go and sell your possession and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. So he's talking to this rich man who is trying to live a life of righteousness. And this man asked Jesus, Lord, what can I do to follow you? And then Jesus, he loved him. Jesus felt love for him and said to him, One thing that you lack is that you must go sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. You must not hold on to the materialistic things in the world. You must grow in him. You must release it. You must give it into the hands of God. You must be generous. And then God will actually multiply it and give it back to you. God will multiply things and give it back to you. Amen. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" He was questioning them. Are you guys going to stay with me? Or are you going to leave me? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. "Behold, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. At the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time you turn back to God. Now is the time you commit to Him. Now is the time you walk in His ways. Now is the time you say yes to Jesus." Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 15 says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." Death and evil. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose now in order that you may live, you and your descendants. God is giving you an opportunity to choose to walk in His ways. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you serve, whether it's the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land which you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Can you say that? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Last part. Well, I think that's good. So you have a choice today. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day to walk in His ways. Today's the day to say yes to Jesus. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, You're so good. You're so loving and caring. We thank You that You have given us the opportunity to repent, to turn back to You, to grow, and to live a life of righteousness. Lord, we praise You because there's no one like You. We praise You because You are our Lord, our Savior, and that You have saved us from sin, from the bondage and the curse of the law. Lord, You have overcome the law. You have overcome death. You have overcome sin, and You have given us that opportunity to walk into Your ways. So Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that everyone under my voice would just hear Your word. Under my voice would experience You, Your protection, provision, healing, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, and all that You have added to them. Lord God, may Your blessings be upon them. Lord, we know that there is no one like You, and we praise You for everything that You've done for us. And we commit our life to You 100% to reading Your word, to building our life upon You, because we know that You died and rose again. You died and rose from the dead, and then You are powerful and You're victorious, so that we can live from victory to victory, strength to strength, glory to glory. We can live from a season to a season that is in victory. And Lord, we just thank You for Your word. Thank You for everyone that come through this live stream, and thank You that You are able to bless abundantly more than we can ever imagine. We love You, God, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. You can ask a question. If you have any prayers, let me know. If you have any comments, let me know. Danielle, you're welcome. Every praise to our God. Amen. Glory to God. Hi. Say yes to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to answer 4 questions. And then we can call it good. So, number one, application question. When has faithfulness to God landed you on a difficult path? Yeah, you see, faithfulness to God actually landed me on a better path, on an easier path. It landed me on a path where it got me out of the difficult path. The moment that I turned away from God for 1 or 2 years was my deepest and lowest moment, my darkest moment in my life. I was stuck. I was isolated. I was goner. I had no purpose. But the moment that I turned back to God, He built me up. He led me. He helped me go through and recover and reconcile and be redeemed into His presence. So that now He has also added to me more than enough. More than enough. So I praise Him all the days of my life. So when has faithfulness to God landed me on a difficult path? No. I think that if I'm a lukewarm Christian, that I don't follow Him, I don't read the Word of God every day, I don't pray to Him every day, then that means I'm not truly following God. Then it's going to be a difficult path. But when you walk in His ways every day, you seek Him every day, you give thanks to Him and rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. When you do that, then you will experience a life of fulfillment. By the way, thanks for the thumbs up, thanks for joining me, and thanks for subscribe and the like, guys, and the follow. So, yeah. Then, question number 2 out of 4, application. What motivates you to choose faithfulness when compromise promises a hassle-free life? What motivates you to choose faithfulness when compromise promises a hassle-free life? Well, compromise is a lie. Because what the world offers, a hassle-free life, sure, it may be a temporary hassle-free life, but for eternity, that would not be so. Faithfulness to God is because of what Jesus did, showing us the greatest love ever, coming, sacrificing all that He has, laying His life down for us. He said, there's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid His life down for you and me. And so, what motivates me to choose faithfulness? Well, because of what Jesus has done for me, becoming human, from divine, perfect, glory, He got everything, giving it up from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven. That's great exchange. Amen. So, I would rather choose a life that is saving more souls than a life that is of luxury, a life of just enjoyment. I would rather do that because of His sacrifice. Yeah. So, by His blood, He's bought me my time, my energy, my talent, my treasures. He's bought me by His blood. He washed me clean. So, all I am, all I have is His. Amen. And then, what are some false gods that people worship today? I think people are worshiping technology. People are worshiping just laziness. People are worshiping gluttonous. People are worshiping money and wealth. They're worshiping prosperity. They're worshiping the gifts that God has given them. Instead of worshiping the giver, they're worshiping the creation. Instead of worshiping the creator. God is the creator. He is the creator. And so it's so important that you turn your heart back to Him. You see, yeah, they worship their cell phone, their devices. They worship their game. That's a reality. And that's why it's so important to turn back to Him. Important to repent. Important to live your life upon His firm foundation. And then, number 4, how do these idols deplete those who worship them? How do these idols deplete or destroy those who worship them. Now, I'm not saying they literally like bow down to them, but they spend all their time, their money, their treasures, their talents on these things and not on God. And it really blinds them from the one true living God. And so that's why they're lost, they're broken, they're needy, they're in need for the salvation that only Jesus, only God can offer. And so we're just talking about how good, how great our God is, but how loving He is also. And He loves you so much. He cares for you. And He has a great plan for you. So come before Him. Build your life upon Him, His foundation. Trust Him. Let Him be your refuge. Let Him be your strength. Let Him be the one that empowers you. Be your friend. Be your guide. Let Him be the one that moves you. For our God, He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all wealthy. He's everything. He's got all glory. And He wants to share it with you. He wants to bring you into a better place. Amen. So, we praise Him all the days of our life. For He is good. Amen. Well, that's about it for what I have. But of course, I want to encourage you to stay strong in the Lord. Mentally, physically, relationally, financially. Everything that you have is in the Lord. And so, I'm going to do some pull-ups. And you guys can count it. Because it's just to encourage you to continue walking in His ways. Amen. We want to stay strong for the Lord and praise Him all the days of our life. May God bless you, be with you, may you be glorified, and stay healthy, my dear brothers and sisters. I love you guys, and thank you for joining me on this stream. And tomorrow, we will see the victory of Elijah on Mount Carmel against the false prophets. Such an awesome story. So awesome. What a mighty man of God. Who is obedient to God, who is even standing up against the false prophets. Amen. May God bless you, be with you. Amen. Thank you for joining me. 16, wow. Thank you.